You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Yes, hello and welcome back to the Big Strong Leicester Boys podcast where, we've called an emergency meeting, an emergency podcast after that absolutely woeful, embarrassing and basically any negative adjective you could possibly fit performance against Blackburn as we exited the FA Cup fifth round. So yeah, this was an unplanned episode, but we decided that we kind of really wanted to do it because lots of people got lots they want to get off their chest. We'll speak to the lads in a couple of moments time, and also we're going to be joined by some fans a little bit later on as well. We're going to do the first ever Big Strong Leicester Boys phone in. Not quite sure how that's going to work. I'm sure it'll be okay, but we're looking forward to that. We'll do that in about half an hour's time, but before then let's chat amongst the lads, shall we? We've got Jack, we've got Rick, we've got Jordan. Rick, you are in some kind of disguise. What's this? You've got the hood up.
Well, I realised I was wearing black because I was mourning yesterday's debacle. But also, just before we went live, I thought I would try and recreate a dirty protest like the lads did at Arsenal because last night was a disgrace. And I'll unzip myself now because crap. But I'm sure we'll get on to various choice words. It's needed tonight, isn't it? We've all had to rally round. Kids are watching Peter Rabbit again, but the pod takes priority in these dark moments.
Yeah, no, it does. So the wife's at work. You're in charge of the kids, but you've just stuck them in front of the television to watch Peter Rabbit whilst you rant about Brendan Rodgers, right?
Is
there going to be a proper rant as well, just before we prepare ourselves?
Just usual. It'll just be, I don't know. I've not planned anything. I mean, I'm suffering a severe case of Brendan Rodgers Tourette's at the minute, where every time I think about him, I just shout "swat" really loudly. So I don't know what is. I don't know what's going to come out. To be honest, we'll have to see.
Wow. Right. Jack, I'm going to come to you because I know you are angry and you insisted you really wanted to do this podcast today because you said that, you wanted to get some stuff off your chest because you're not a happy man, are you? I'm really pissed off, really annoyed about last night's performance.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say my head fell off last night and has not returned to my neck since then. I actually wanted to do a Twitter space last night with just Rick because you'd gone to bed and Jordan wouldn't text me back. I don't know how to do them. So that was a bit of a shame, but that would have been quite fun, even if it was just the two of us. I'm so angry about yesterday. It was so bad. Like the first 60 minutes was abysmal, dark days of Puel abysmal. And I don't use that lightly. It was just, there's a phrase that people misuse in Sunday League football, lackadaisical, all the time. No one can pronounce it. That's what it was yesterday. It was completely lackadaisical. And the joke might be on me because I might have just mispronounced that. But thanks for the reassurance there. It was dreadful. I don't even know where to begin. All of them, Rodgers came out and said Danny Iverson played well and Kiernan Dewsbury-Hall. Danny Iverson was waiting for a bus for the first goal and Kearney Dewsbury-Hall played like a fucking greyhound chasing a rabbit all day with his first touch. But apart from that, it's great.
We're going to throw in some random sound effects throughout the course of today's episode. And one just kind of sprung to mind. Jordan, I've just seen you put it in the chat as well of Mike Bassett, if anybody's ever watched that. And it's one of them situations where it's like anything else you want to get off your chest. It really is, isn't it? Jordan, for the first time ever since we started doing these podcasts, because I'm so frustrated and angry by things, I've actually planned something. I've actually written down words as opposed to just winging the entire thing. So I'll get onto kind of my thoughts in a couple of moments time. But your initial thoughts in terms of what you want to get off your chest before we kind of really delve into this.
Yeah, before we do the deep dive, I've actually got another tab prepared. That's about as far as I'll go in terms of preparation.
This is serious, isn't it?
But we've actually
prepared one for the first time ever.
Yeah, no on-air production meetings. But yeah, believe it or not, somehow, so I can't believe myself that I've kind of carved out a niche as the voice of reason on this podcast. I've got some shade to throw at Jack. To last week's podcast, Jack said he wouldn't play a full strength team. And that's what the manager did. He didn't play a full strength team. And look what happened. We should have gone.
Hold on.
I was of the opinion we should have gone full strength as much as possible. In terms of the game itself, I'm sure we'll come on to some of the individual performances. In terms of the game itself,
yeah,
I thought we started okay. We had a couple of chances before they kind of started to get a bit of momentum. Iverson made a good save of his feet, a great save diving across the goal from a cutback. And then Big Dan gave them a goal.
Yep.
Second half, we started atrociously. So passive. Completely uninterested. No one grabbing the game by the scruff of the neck without Jurrien and Madders in the midfield. Again, I'm sure we'll come on to that. I thought the midfield was an abomination, to say the least. And then we give him another one. You know, Luke makes a mistake. Amati's like a pack of crisps defending, just walks straight through him. And then for the last half an hour, I thought we were pretty good, to be honest. And we could have got back into the game and maybe forced extra time. But the problem is you can't wait till you've made two mistakes and you're 2-0 down to get going again. To be fair to Blackburn, well, I thought they were a reasonably decent side.
And
a few dangerous lads going forward. And the big lad up front, Gallagher, caused us some problems. But, look, we'll come on to manager, individual performances. Huge opportunity missed to get to a quarterfinal and potentially Wembley. Having thought about it today, is league survival more important? Absolutely. And that's the only thing we're playing for now. But Saturday is monumental in terms of if we win, I think we pull away a little bit. And if we lose, we are right in the mire without Youri Tielemans for 6 weeks. And who knows what's going to be up with Madders next week.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So obviously, lads, I weren't here last week, but of course I did listen to the podcast, and I do want to call all three of you out on something, actually, in terms of the irony that we're having this conversation and doing this podcast today, because correct me if I'm wrong, you had a conversation about Brendan Rodgers and you all said that you were sick and tired of having the conversation about his future, and we all just needed to accept that it was going to be here till the end of the season anyway, so we need to stop having these conversations. Fast forward one game and one defeat, we're literally doing a podcast. I'm not sure, but it was definitely said.
Jake, in my defence,
yeah,
I asked the question, and I don't want to be having a conversation about Rodgers' future, which I think is what I said, and I still stand by that.
Okay.
It's not my fault that Pratt can't win games.
Dennis Pratt
or Brendan Rodgers.
They were both hopeless last night, weren't they?
So quickly before I read my incredibly long monologue of my thoughts, let's just do a quick in or out on Brendan. We had lots of people get in touch on social media because we have kind of universally as a podcast been by and large Brendan in. Now, I know, Rick, that you've had kind of bigger doubts than the rest of us this season. But people saying that if they're going to listen to this podcast and hear more kind of backing and supporting of the manager, then, well, obviously they just don't want to hear it anymore. I'm now at the point where, I'll be honest, I was Brendan in. I'm now on the fence and I'm just giving him one game. Lose to Southampton and he's gone. So that's where I'm at. I'm still not 100% out. I'm going to give him one more game. Jordan, in or out?
Do I only get one word?
You can add a little bit of context like that. You know, are you going to give him Southampton, basically?
Yeah, I mean, I'm Rodgers in until the end of the season.
Lifetime contract.
I think based on... I don't think he can win. I don't think he can win either way. And I appreciate what...
He definitely can't win at the minute.
I appreciate what Rick said in terms of at the end of the season, it might be best to part ways for all parties involved and have a fresh start. But, you know, you look at the squads, the 11 that he selected last night, and I think everyone can unanimously agree that that should be good enough to beat Championship opposition at home.
Yeah.
What we learned was probably what we knew all along. And again, sorry to divulge slightly, but, you know, we had a conversation on Sunday whether Danny Ward is our number one. Well, he picks Iverson and he's getting slagged off for marking his near post for the first goal. Well, with all due respect, he doesn't expect a Marty to fucking pass it straight to their striker.
Yeah, that's on a party.
So, you know, Ward's not good enough. And so the manager changes it and Iverson's not good enough. You know, Suter's coming back from an ACL injury. So we play a Marty and yeah, he's not good enough. He's not good enough to play in the Premier League. It's pretty obvious now.
Yeah.
Luke Thomas, the current iteration of Luke Thomas, is not good enough to play in the Premier League. He needs to go out on loan next season. Again, this rumour that's going around that people have fell out with Victor because he's taken Thomas's spot. Well, he's twice the player Luke Thomas is.
Yeah, I find that laughable.
Pretty clear to see. He's been here four games. Then, I said it yesterday, the best fucking player has been out for a year with an ACL injury and he plays right back. And he was our most creative player, Ricardo, for an hour. But he's not fit, so he comes off. Fez is playing he's trying to play three positions in the back four. And then, you know, Rodgers makes changes in midfield. Tielemans is injured. Madison's injured. He should have played Mendy, in my opinion.
Yep.
But Sumari's not good enough. He's too slow for the pace of the English game. Pratt is a solid squad player. But if his name was John Smith, he wouldn't be as highly rated as he is. He's the most overrated player I've ever seen for Leicester. All he does is pass it back to where he got it from. He never turned. He doesn't create anything. KDH was getting stick, but he's trying to make things happen on his own because the other two can't. Tete, who one of my friends shall remain nameless, he got called a donkey last night. He's played five games. He's never played in English football. He's got to get used to the physicality and the pace. And he's clearly a good player. He made a great pass for Barnes for the goal. People are saying tell Barnes. Fuck me. He's been our most attacking threat in the season. Madison's hardly played half the games. So imagine Barnes not playing last night, how bad it would have been. And sorry to go through the whole 11.
That's fine.
You were asked one simple question.
Yeah, I know.
I know, but it's rowdy. So Vardy, I've reserved judgment all season. It's the elephant in the room. Sadly, he is finished at this level and he didn't even look like a Championship striker last night. So yeah, should have played Kel. So my point is, what do you expect the manager to do? Because if he can't play full strength and that's the side that he's got, they're not good enough. They're just not good enough and that's not his fault.
No.
He's not getting a tune out of them, but they're just not good enough. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. No, it's difficult, isn't it? Because there's a combination of all of that, whereas you're absolutely not wrong about the kind of analysis of the players. But then at what point do you think that the Rodgers has to take responsibility for them in terms of, you know, there are the players that he signed or the players that he's coached. And if he's not getting the best out of them, then at what point do you start blaming the manager? But Rick, obviously you are out in terms of Rodgers.
100%.
Yes.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, I won't even flesh it out right now. 100% out. There's no future for him here anymore because the malaise that's set in, and you know, this is nothing on his ability as a coach because we've seen all that. He's delivered. He's been successful here. Doesn't matter. Jack nearly nicked one of my anecdotes earlier before we came on. You can't, it'd be like me, right? I take the bins out. I do the bins, yeah?
Yes.
But then suddenly I stop doing the bins. It ain't going to wash with the missus if I say, well, I've been taking the bins out for 4 years. What's the problem? So, yeah, but you ain't taking them out now for a few weeks. There's rubbish coming out the bins. It stinks. I've seen a rat the size of a bloody badger. I'm sorry. You know, he can't get a tune out of the players anymore. Yes, we need some new players. Yes, some of them aren't good enough. But when he first came in 4 years ago, we were underperforming. There were players in that squad that we said were crap. He got a tune out of them straight away because of momentum, confidence. The problem with Rodgers right now is he's beaten up. He's been through a lot in these 4 years, and not all of it's his own fault. I grant that. But as soon as you lose the ability to affect players, because that's what elite managers or what managers do, once you lose the ability to do that, then what can you do? You can give him a load more players, but I still don't think it's enough. I still think he needs a new challenge. We need a new challenge. We probably need to shake hands, and ideally it would be at the end of the season. But, oh, sounds like an ice cream man there. But are we going down? Who knows? And if we are, I think he's got to go right now, even though there's, and as Jack's just put in thing, and look at his chapped lips, they're enough that he immediately needs to go.
But this is the thing, isn't it? Jack, trying to retain some kind of seriousness here. With survival at stake, you know, I'm not completely married to keeping Rodgers and sticking by him, but at the end of the day, if it looks like we're going to go down, then we might have to act now, mightn't we? You know, that's ultimately what could force our hand here, right?
Yeah, it's a very difficult question to answer. The only thing that I'm actually sure of is that we're in a right fucking mess.
Yeah, we are.
I don't really know how to solve it. Now, I can't do anecdotes like Rick, but, you know, for me, I feel a bit like when I found out Santa Claus wasn't real with Rodgers. I keep thinking, you know, I keep trying to believe in him because he is a good manager. But that was shocking last night, and it's gone on for too long now, I think. And I'm a patient man, although my wife doesn't agree. But I can't sit through that much more of that. But I say that, and then I go, well, if you sack him, who'd you get? Because yeah. Leeds have appointed... who did the Leeds appoint?
Javi Gracia.
Yeah, exactly. The sack from Watford for getting them relegated.
Their longest ever manager under the Pozzos, by the way. Didn't make 2 years, but...
Yeah, okay, good. Cracking. Yeah. And I think he almost got them into Europe at one stage, but... Not a great manager. Like, and then, you know, Southampton are going to appoint Jesse Marsh. Like, there's no one out there, and there are some good managers, but largely they're in jobs. So I have no idea what to do now. It's all a bit late. It all goes back to the summer. Whatever happened in the summer was just a total yeah. disaster.
I think you're right, mate.
And football's all about momentum and fine margins. And you lose momentum, it's so hard to regain it. And we've tried to regain it with, for whatever reason, but we're just incapable of doing that. And yeah, the final roll of the dice is probably sacking the manager, but God knows who else we get in. And then, you know, could be an even bigger mess. So if your question is Rodgers in or out, I have no idea. I don't know where I stand. I'm very confused.
And that's probably
out,
about as far
on,
as...
Join me in the out. Go on.
Right, I'm going to read my notes, which I kind of put my thoughts down a little bit later on. It's actually very similar to what Jordan said, by the way. But since I actually prepared notes for the first time, it feels like a waste not to actually use them. The performance against Blackburn was embarrassing. Genuinely played off the park at home by a Championship side, who, by the way, were missing a couple of their best players. It wasn't even Blackburn at full strength. Genuinely unacceptable. The attitude for the players, the selection, everything was wrong. And a massive opportunity to progress in a cup competition, which, you know, we were desperate to do so. And it was a great opportunity to get to a quarter final. You're going to get a few better. So, yeah, an absolute massive waste. But as far as the side that played last night, I do actually genuinely believe that whilst it is necessary to rotate a little bit, I do think that we would have won that game had Christiansen, Suter, Mendy and Iheanacho started in the place of those four, which started in front of them. Generally, I do. But unfortunately, there are certain players in this team who are not good enough. And they've shown that time and time again. And it is, by and large, the same culprits. You know, I personally don't really like to single out individuals, but the performances last night of Amati and Thomas, who were culpable for a couple of the goals, were almost comically bad. And the fact that Rodgers didn't bring off either at half-time and waited until an hour or nearly an hour to finally make any changes is just completely baffling, because we were dreadful and we really should have done something significantly before then. So you couple those horrendous performances with Dewsbury Hall, who's just having an absolute shocker at the moment. He genuinely is. He's really not playing well. Tete was quiet again. You know, I'm not you know, calling him rubbish. He was just quiet. Pratt making no real impact in terms of the opportunities that he's getting. Sumare, I echo what George said. I thought he was hopeless last night, and his inconsistency is just baffling. There is a player there. There is. But I just can't see it happening in the Premier League or at Leicester. I just don't. And I think with him, again, it's a personality thing. He just doesn't seem to kind of want it enough. And Vardy, you know, people will say and remember early on in the season, I was kind of really backing him, weren't I, to kind of come good and play instead of Daka. But I am now at the stage where I accept it wasn't poor form. He just isn't the player that he once was. And he should now be third choice. And Daka should have played yesterday instead of Vardy. So for me, it's quite simple that if Maddison is fit, then Leicester will stay up this season. But if his injury is more serious than kind of what we're being told, then we're in a load of shit. Because without him, we look bang average. Now, I saw a stat at the weekend, I think it was before the Arsenal game, that he's missed 10 league games this season, and we've not won a single one of those. And that is telling, isn't it? We're just not a decent side without James Maddison. And haven't even touched on the fact that Youri Tielemans is also injured as well, and potentially could have played his last game for the club. And then just finally, the manager, I have by and large supported him, been loyal to him. I do still feel that he is a decent coach and that he is far from being the only problem. But if we can find a manager who is better and will come in now, then I would welcome the change. But we absolutely shouldn't just sack him and leave ourselves in a similar situation to what Southampton and Leeds had, when there were no real kind of plan in place and have ended up with bang average replacements. You know, we've got a decent coach there. We do. So kind of just to round up, for me, it's Southampton. I'm not going to say it's a must win, but it's a must not lose. If we draw that, I think he survives. But if we lose to Southampton at the weekend, then he absolutely has to go. So yeah, it really is kind of that severe now for me. I mean, we've had lots of these conversations, lads, about Brendan Rodgers' future, particularly at the start of the season, where we all kind of thought he was going to get sacked. And Jordan, I'll come back to you, because it felt at that point that Rodgers was almost unsackable, that the club were just not going to sack him. Everybody thought he was going to go, but he just didn't. Do you still think he's as bulletproof now as what he was at the start of the season?
In terms of if I was on the board, I think he is. I by and large agree with everything you said there, other than taking Amati and Thomas off at half-time. I just think that would have absolutely crucified their confidence even further. I don't think they'd have played again this season, to be honest.
I think, just to jump in quickly, I think that performance last night from Daniel Amati has just ended any hopes that he had of getting a new contract at the club.
Yeah, I think so. And so this is what
it was, make or break, wasn't it? And I think that has proven now to Rodgers that he isn't good enough. You know, and we've had conversations about Thomas Reddy, but I think that Amati, that was kind of the end for him last night.
Yeah, I think it was. And I think this is what I was going to come on to. What I think in this situation, you know, this is what I've said in the WhatsApp group, we're in a right fucking big, strong mess. And I'll kind of explain why I think that is. But I would keep the manager on the basis that in this situation, I think we need stability at the top. You mentioned Leeds, Southampton, even Everton, who've gone from Lampard to Sean Dyche, which is a complete change in an approach. That's why I think we need stability from the top, because we could end up in a situation where we're in the same boat as those three, who at the minute I think will probably be the three who go down, unless Bournemouth just go down on the sheer lack of quality they've got. But what made me think about this yesterday, I quite like Rodgers' last two press conferences. He's actually just basically said it was his own fault. He's come out and protected the players now. And he said, we lost to two championship teams in the last 2 years in the FA Cup. And then I thought, who did we lose to last year? And then I remembered, we got hammered at Forest, who came up. This was the 11, right? So this was a year ago, 6th of February, so over a year, when a lot of people say that the problem started for Rodgers. So in goal, Danny Ward, who is our number one, whether we like it or not, whether we think he's good enough, he's now our number one. At the time was number two. So we've lost Schmeichel and got him as the number one. James Justin, right back, injured. Ricardo, like I say, looked good last night. And Castagna is probably better than him. But Amati, centre-back, finished. Soyuncu, centre-back, finished. Thomas needs to go out on loan. Tielemans, injured. Ndidi, injured, out of form. On the left, Barnes, who's the same old half, still think he's decent. Madison, injured. Luckman, who has been brilliant. And up front, Iheanacho. So that is the team that last year people said at Forest, where the problem started for Rodgers, that's better than the team we've got now. Now, is that the manager's fault? Surely the board have seen this coming a mile off. We've needed this rebuild for ages. And it seems to me they've just dillied and dallied and waited for all these players to run their contracts down. And you can tell they don't want to be here. They don't care, or they're not good enough. And the manager's got to deal with all of that. And I've just got the squad up. Going through the squad on the Premier League website, I think I counted about 8 players that I'd retain out of the whole squad. Now, the reason managers get sacked is because it's easier to pay them off and try and get someone to get a tune in. But whoever else comes in, they've still got to sign 7 or 8 players. And that includes losing probably Tielemans, probably Madison, and Vardy's finished. So you're ripping the heart out of the team. And I'm not sure that any manager is actually going to want to come into that situation. And that's why I think stability at the top is key. I mean, the playing staff is going to be a huge turnover. So the last thing I think we should be changing is the manager. I think we need to back him. And I think a lot of the problems are with the board, personally.
Yeah, no, I think problems with the board, problems with the players, problem with the manager. It's just what the owner decides is the quickest and best fix for it. Right, we are going to start now getting some fans on for the next half an hour here on the podcast. And we'll start with Neil from the Beyond 90 LCFC podcast. Neil, thanks for coming on, mate. How are you doing?
I'm all right, thanks. Well, still kind of, I've just pretended yesterday didn't happen, to be perfectly honest. And just kind of, I'm kind of numb to the loss at the moment. And unfortunately, the downing of the mentality. But yeah, apart from that, everything's all right.
So what's your feeling and mood? Obviously, I know it's not a great one, but Rodgers in or out? A straightforward, easy question for you.
I mean, to be honest, I've been Rodgers out for about 12 months. However, at the moment, I can understand your points. And I think that if we think about it, I don't think it's going to change that much unless we're getting into a relegation zone, as in actually in the relegation zone, we're in the bottom three and teams starting to run away from us. My thing is I want him gone in the summer, but I don't see any benefit of getting sacked now. We've been having this conversation since the beginning of the season. We've been in worse positions earlier on in this season, where we've been rock bottom of the Premier League, and apparently it was one game away from going if we didn't beat Nottingham Forest. So we've been in worse positions. You're right in terms of the players, and they're just not turning up, and it's just not. Again, it's the worst thing is I've watched them when we've been terrible, and I've just known under like Ian Holloway and just Craig Levein, just going, yeah, this team's crap, but we're just going to keep supporting them. We'll see what happens. Now you're looking at it going, oh, well, this team is good enough to beat, again, a very good Blackburn sign. And don't get taken away from it. They were fantastic on the day. But, oh, man, I just, that's the worst thing about it. So, again, long story short, I don't see him as the future manager, but for now, just get us out of this mess and get us into the summer with 40 points. That's all I care about.
Yeah. So, Neil, what I've said, I think maybe a few of us are the same place, is Southampton. It's massive, because you talk about the fact we're not in the relegation places, but, you know, lose at the weekend to Southampton, and we very possibly could be. And I think psychologically and mentally, if we do drop into that bottom three, we've mentioned it before as well, that Brendan Rodgers' side stereotypically aren't particularly good in the run-in. And I think if we find ourselves in the bottom three and we're kind of under pressure to get results, it would make me nervous, to say the least. How important do you think this game is for Rodgers' future on Saturday? Is it a must-win, a must-not-lose, or where are you at with it?
I'm kind of numb to it. I mean, we've had this conversation against the both Forest games. I want to say a couple of other games as well, but both Forest games stick out as, right, these are must-wins. One of them we won, one of them we lost. Both of them just seem like, and we've had that multiple times this season, right, this is going to be the, I think Southampton was another game, the game at home was, right, we need to get a win here. We end up losing that game. So this, I wouldn't say it's a, we've had this conversation so many times just over this year, this season alone. So I don't see the, it's, I'm almost numb to having these same conversations again and again. I think until the majority of the crowd has turned, which they did, I think it was against Crystal Palace for the 0-0, and a couple of other times as well. But overall, for me, it's not going to make that much of a difference, because the signs are there. And I think with that starting 11, we have enough to keep in the Premier League. Now we've got nothing else to focus on. One game a week, that should be enough for this team to get us through out of the bottom three. And I think we should be okay, but the drop-off from the likes of Daniel Amate, especially Luke Thomas, compared to Suter and Christensen, it's night. It's literally a League One team to a Premiership team. Mm. And that's so we just have to play that starting 11 and pray they all stay fit.
Yeah, agree. All right, Neil, top stuff, mate. Really appreciate you coming on to join us. That's Neil there from the Beyond the 90 LCFC podcast. So do go follow them and have a listen to their stuff. Neil, thanks for your time, mate. Jack, I want to have a quick chat about Maddison, what I said earlier. Is it quite as straightforward for you as it is for me that if Maddison stays fit, we stay up?
Well, the stats would say that, right? Because I think we've won one game. I think it was the Leeds game when he was suspended. Apart from that, I don't think we've got a point without him in the side. So, I think it is. And do you know what? Like Rodgers after the game yesterday, when he was looking for positives, he was like, well, James Maddison might be fit for Saturday. And I was just thinking, like, don't say that out loud, mate. Like, we all thought that, but you don't. And I genuinely think he's now in a square of just being, he's completely besotted with Maddison in a really sort of lovely bromance sort of way. But I think that's gone a step too far now, where I think, you know, Rodgers sort of slumps his shoulders a bit if Maddison's not fit. And what on earth's going on with his injury? Because it seemed very strange to me that he wasn't even on the bench last night. I think that's a bit weird. I really hope I'm, you know, looking for stuff that's not there. But we need him fit every week, don't we, to stay up, really? I mean, we're on 24 points. We need 16 points. So that's 5 wins and a draw. How many games we've got left? 14 games. So, I mean, you would have thought if he's fit, he'll win us enough games and raise it. But it's a big if he's fit, because he's been in and out, and whatever he did to his knee in Dubai is worrying.
Yeah, no, he seems a little bit brittle right now. I'm just hoping he was being protected and wrapped up in cotton wool, and Brendan maybe thought he could get away with not playing him against Blackburn, but apparently not. Next call, we've got Jamie Thorpe now on the podcast. I think it's Big Strong Leicester Boys podcast phone-in's going all right so far. 2 calls in. Jamie, how are you, mate? You okay? Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, no, all good. Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
So, straightforward, easy one to start with, in or out, Rodgers?
I think if you'd asked that question before yesterday's game, it probably would have been a much clearer answer. I think I was probably one of the few that thought he had enough credit in the bank to be Rodgers in more than Rodgers out. It's not said I can't understand the reasons why people wanted him gone before now. I can definitely get that case. I just thought there was enough mitigating circumstance to give him a bit of credit. But I think yesterday was one of the most shambolic 20 minutes that I've seen us have in a long time. And I've seen us not score against Dean Windass in goal at home. Like, you know, pull off some pretty amazing things in a negative way. So it to be cut open and just to be so devoid of any leadership was a real shock, to be honest. And he didn't really seem to be adding much on the touchline, and changes came too late. But I don't know. I think the next three games are massive, aren't they? As I'm sure you've probably covered already in the podcast. But yeah, he's got to turn it around, and got to turn it around pretty quick, because we're in a bad way.
I want to ask you about Jamie Vardy. Jamie, bad form, or is he done?
I don't know. It's almost a question I don't really want to contemplate. I know
it's hard, isn't it?
We've had this coming for such a long time. It's like that thing you just pretend it's not going to happen and maybe it won't ever come to it. But I don't know. You think if you take last night as a pretty good example of what he's offering at the minute, a few nice flicks here and there, but not really involved in the game. But what he's really lacking is, whereas he used to do that before, is when he got a chance, he'd take it 9 times out of 10. Whereas now, how many he's missing? Well, he's missed pretty much all of them, isn't he? His goal tally isn't exactly great. So I don't know. He's certainly on the way out. I mean, it's very sad, isn't it? You don't really want his career at Leicester to end in a season such as this, with fans chanting about his wife every game. It's not really what I envisage for the guy. But yeah, it wouldn't be such a problem if we were playing well and he could sort of have cameos in a team that was doing well. I think I don't think he's the sort of net role he's playing is really is really great for a relegation scrap.
Neil, one last one from you, mate, before I need to drop you out and bring in the next caller. Do you think we'll stay up?
Yeah. That's pretty much it at the moment. Yeah. I think we'll be okay, but never say never. You can't. Look, I thought Everton were gone until they got Dyche. I'm not sure what's happening with Leeds again. They look like a potentially another team. I think potentially it's Leeds, Bournemouth and Southampton that will go down, and we'll stay up with a couple of points to spare. But look, stay in the Premier League.
All right, top man. Neil, I'll have to drop you out now. And a reminder once again, Beyond the 90 LCFC podcast. But Neil, thanks for your time, mate. Very much appreciated. Right, let's remove Neil and let's add our next caller. This is very quick. We've got Damien now as well. Damien, before we come to you, mate, I just want to quickly ask Rick a question. Rick, talk us through at the moment. I always like this. What you're doing mid-podcast. You've got a beer and the cat has just done something unsavoury. Is this correct?
I've had the cat, I've had the dog come and nudge me, I've had it all. I'm just waiting for one of the kids to come in and something else has happened. But yeah, it's chaos, mate. That's my life, isn't it?
We love it. We love it.
It's how I live it.
Honestly, if you're not watching on YouTube right now, Ric Flair is just sat there in a recline with the cat just walking over him as he sips on a beer. It's majestic. If you are listening,
like a bombed villain.
Yeah, I know. So if you are listening on Spotify or Amazon, this is also available to watch on YouTube, so you can watch Ric in full glory. Right, Damien. Good evening, mate. Thanks for coming on. How are you?
Pleasure. Cheers. Yeah, I'm all right considering what I witnessed last night.
It was pretty dreadful, wasn't it?
It wasn't the best.
How would it compare? Because we've had this, haven't we, quite a lot, let's be honest, under Brendan Rodgers. We've had some pretty horrific performances. We've had plenty of good times. But unfortunately, when we're bad, we're pretty bad. How does this rank for kind of, dire performances?
I'm pretty disappointed because I think Brendan takes the cup seriously. I think he gets it. I think he understands it. He won it 2 years ago. And I think you guys said, might have been Jordan or one of you said on last week's show, actually, our record is pretty good against lower league teams, albeit Forest last season and then this. And I just didn't think he picked the strongest team that he could have picked last night, which for me was a mistake. Hindsight's a wonderful thing, but it probably wasn't strong enough. And if we'd have ended or started with a team we ended with, it might have been a different story.
I mean, I know it's an easy thing to throw at players in terms of the wages that some of our guys earn. And I can't be 100% sure, but I know that Blackburn over recent years have struggled financially. I know, say for instance, if you take Ben Brereton-Diaz and Bradley Dack, who actually didn't play the other night, probably their two top earners. You look at the rest of that team. I think that you could probably get their starting 11 for around 100 grand a week in terms of wages. And if you were to suggest that Dennis Pratt is on, say, roughly 80 grand a week, it's pretty embarrassing, isn't it? That arguably Leicester's backup team, which it is, still earned that kind of money. And for anyone watching that game on Tuesday, if they'd never watched either side before, if you were to honestly try and tell them that those players were earning 3-4 times as much as some of them Blackburn players, it's almost laughable, isn't it, Damien?
Yeah, if that, there's obviously a wage disparity between the Premier League and the Championship. If that's sort of fairly close to the mark, that's pretty stark. You know, they looked what they are. I don't watch Blackburn, but I know they're unbeaten 8-9 games, top six of the Championship. They looked a confident, hungry side last night. We looked like we've looked a lot this season, out of confidence, nervous. We were so poor on the ball first half, couldn't string 2-3 passes together. It looked like one side was a Premier League side, the other one wasn't, albeit I'm still fairly confident for where we'll end up and the division we'll be in next year.
Yeah, I mean, the weather was atrocious, wasn't it? And it kind of almost jumped out to me thinking, oh, no, there's going to be excuses here that the conditions weren't ideal and that we couldn't pass the ball around. But Blackburn had absolutely no issues with zipping that ball around, and we were horrific. Damien, I've not asked you, Rogers in or out, where are you at the moment?
I am Rogers in, and I've probably been Rogers in, bar a couple of wobbles very early in the season after the Spurs game, and I thought it was probably inevitable then that he was going to go. I'd be Rogers in.
All right. And then just one last one, Damien, before I let you go. Do you think we'll stay up? I think you said
you're still confident
we will.
I am confident we'll stay up. It's been said on this podcast, and probably agree with Jordan, the goals we score when we've got the first four or five players in attack, I think we'll have enough. I think we'll have a good flirt with it, as one of my mates said to me, and there might be a couple of hairy moments. I'm not confident for Saturday now, but we're so inconsistent. I think we'll get the wins that we need to.
All right, top man. Damien, we'll drop you out here if that's okay, mate. We really appreciate your time and coming on the podcast.
No worries. Cheers, guys. Thanks.
Top man. Take care, mate. Thank you. Right, we'll remove Damien. Jamie, so back to you, mate. As far as in that personnel went last night and the team that we did play, was there anyone who you thought played last night that has maybe played their last game for Leicester? Unfair question.
Whether they have and whether they should is a bit of a different question. I think that one that stood out for me in terms of just a real surprise and as a completely shambolic performance was Samare. I was not, because I know we've not really seen the best of him. I know he's not really played in the role that we signed him for, yada, yada, yada. But it was the lack of effort that he showed at times yesterday. I mean, he got put on his ass for one of the goals, which is, it happens. It was slippy. But the amount of times they're passing through the midfield, he's just sort of jogging around slightly aimlessly. At least, Dewsbury Hall, for all his lack of quality in the final third last night, you can't fault the guy's effort. And I think it does give you a little bit of a mitigating circumstance when you're criticising a player. It's such an old, cliche, isn't it, that you want your players to show some passion. But, he had nothing about him whatsoever. And it's a real disappointment because when he's played probably two or three games where you thought, hold on, this is the lad that we signed. This is what we wanted. And then you just don't see it again for the rest of the season. It's really frustrating. So probably him. I mean, Daniel Amati, bless him. We got what we needed out of Dan at a time when we were really struggling for players. Yeah. And he stepped up really well. But ultimately, we shouldn't be starting Daniel Amati in a Premier League game again. No. And I do love him. Thanks, Big Dan. But it's I think it might be time.
Yeah, Jamie, I completely agree. Was that Damien, by the way, who said a good flirt and a couple of hairy moments, Jack?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jack says that sounds like one of my dating stories. right, we've got another guest now. Is this Stevie Boy?
It is. Hi, guys. Hello. You all right?
How are you doing, mate? You okay?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Right, thanks for having me on. Our final caller for our inaugural Big Strong Leicester Boys phone-in. I think it's gone all right so far. mate, so quick one then. Same one I've been asking everyone who's come on. Rogers in or out?
Out for me.
And why?
Yes!
So for me, I think first 2.5 years, superb, absolutely brilliant. Some of the best football I've ever seen a Leicester team play. And I've been a fan for a good few years. Obviously, winning the FA Cup,
amazing. Never thought I'd see it. Probably as a one-off, but better than winning the league. I think it's one of those things, after the Holy Grail kind of thing. But I just feel like probably, I remember watching the Burton Albion and the Wycombe Wanderers friendlies
last season.
And there was a noticeable drop-off in the intensity then. And it was almost like at that point, he'd kind of look to change and go to this more kind of slower build-up, more possession-based. And I just feel like we've lost our identity. It's costing us now massively in games. Players who previously have looked top class for us are kind of dropping off, they're regressing. Last night, I just thought we've kind of pretty much rock bottom. It was probably worse than the Forest game. I think if Blackburn had took the chances, it could have been 6-7 that we conceded. For me, it's just completely inflexible with his tactics. It's kind of like yesterday, I've not got Harry Suter, I'm going to play Daniel Amati, but Daniel Amati, you're going to play like Harry Suter and you're going to play out from the back. It's so easy to play against now. You know, if I was a manager, I'd just stand there and go, right, set traps for Daniel Amati every time, and you're going to win the ball high up, and you know, we're struggling straight away. I think the other thing as well is I feel like it's a bit more about Brendan now than kind of what's more important for Leicester City. I think he's setting up now to kind of almost as though to show people, look what I've done. I've taken a team that were a counter-attacking team 5 years ago, and now I've turned them into this kind of ultra-controlling, possession-based team. I've turned Wilfred Ndidi from what was a midfield destroyer into kind of somebody who's trying to be more progressive. I just think that he's negating a lot of what we're good at. And I think that that's part of the problem. I think bring a new guy in. I'm not saying who. I don't know. Not my job. To be honest with you, it's a bit of a tough one. I think,
but this is the problem, though, isn't it, mate? Because I'm on the fence. I think lots of people are. If there was genuinely, you know, a list of potential managers there, and I'm thinking, yeah, I'd have him. That I can't think of anyone. I mean, I know, Rick, you mentioned something in the group chat earlier, and we potentially mentioned them in a couple of moments' time, but
literally never heard of those people.
Yeah, they just feel like a massive risk, Rick. So I'm kind of like, well, I'm just going to stick with Rodgers for the time being. I know that, you know, if we could do a girlfriend analogy here, like we kind of used to at the start of the series when we were doing these, that you kind of shouldn't just stick with them because you're scared of not being able to find somebody better. But Stevie, that's kind of how I'm at. That, you know, if we get someone in and they're not better than Brendan Rodgers, all we're going to find ourselves is in the Championship and with a worse manager than Brendan Rodgers.
I think the issue for me is that when Brendan's good, I don't think there is a better manager for Leicester. I'll be honest. When he's good, I mean, when we were playing some of the football, and we've had glimpses of it this season, but the frustrating thing is we've had like two little purple patches.
Yeah.
And when we've been in them purple patches, we look unreal. You know, you still look and think we're exciting going forward. You know, we look a great side, but it's becoming less and less now. And I think that's the concern. And whether it's gone stale, whether he's kind of lost his kind of way, or whether it is a fact of when we do play well, it's kind of almost going against his principles. But I don't know. To be honest, I'd take a gamble, man. I'd try. Whether we can get him, I'd go for Vincent Kompany. I think he's done a great job at Burnley. I think he plays decent football, good structure. I think what is good about him is obviously with he's got a bit of stature in the game as well, good reputation. So I think he'd earn the respect of the squad. I don't know. The probably isn't. If I was any other team and we were looking for a manager and Brendan Rodgers was available, you'd probably be all over it. But I think after 2, 3, 4 years, you start to see that he's got a shelf life. And I think that is where it's now at a point where I think we do need a freshening up. I mean, last night, if that was Claude Puel, he'd have got hammered. He'd have got hammered. I mean, that last night was just, I mean, my lad was watching it and he's 13, and some of the words I heard come out of his mouth last night. He's lucky he's not been grounded for a month, but
probably the same ones Rick's teaching his kids.
Yeah, it probably came from me, to be fair. But I just, like I say, if he left now, I think he'd still have a little bit of credit in the bank for what he's done. I think he's done an amazing job. Like I say, some of the football we witnessed in them first couple of years was unbelievable. I just think I think the two beatings we took around Christmas time when we got beat by City and Liverpool and we got a good thump in a couple of years back, I think that kind of almost set him back. And then from then, he seemed to have become a bit more cagey. And we've kind of regressed ever since. And then slowly but surely, it's kind of just gone to something now that I just think is really ineffective. And actually, watching Blackburn last night, they were everything that I kind of want us to be.
Yeah,
they pressed high. They played some cracking football. But they got the ball forward quickly, but with purpose, rather than kind of aimlessly knocking it back and forth. You know, and you just look at some of the players that we've got. Last night, you don't try and play the same way that you play with your strongest 11 out when you've got five or six kind of fringe players. You kind of tweak it. You play a bit different. Luke Thomas is absolutely short of confidence. But, you know, he's putting him in situations by asking him to play the way he is, where he's going to make mistakes and it's going to make it worse. You know, and you see that with Amarty. Why ask a player who looks so uncomfortable in possession? I mean, I helped run a 13-year-old team, and there's lads in that team that look more comfortable in possession than what he does. It's frightening. Mm. But he persists in playing that way when surely you just refine it a little bit just to try and kind of give yourself a fighting chance. He's just too rigid for me now, and I think it's the concern for me is that this is more about him than our club. And that, you know, we've been on a long journey to get to where we are, and I just don't want to see anybody kind of undo all of that, really.
Mm. Yeah, actually, genuinely blows my mind, by the way, that when we signed Daniel Amarty from Copenhagen, it was as a central midfielder. I mean, you watch him technically and thinking, Christ, whoever thought that was his best position? Stevie, mate, absolutely top call.
Thank you very much.
Massively appreciate it. It's okay, I'm going to drop you out, okay?
Yeah, no problem. Thanks, guys.
Top man. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Jamie, one last one for you, mate, before we round up the phone in. It's kind of a double-barreled question. Do you think we'll stay up? And do you think Rodgers will see out the season?
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know. Nice, easy one.
Yeah, I think we will. I mean, I know that you guys were touching on it earlier when you spoke about Maddison, but I think that our fate is intrinsically tied in with his knees. If he survives and keeps himself going, then I think we will, because I think we're just better with him. I think Barnes has looked better as well, which has given me some hope, because I do have faith in that Barnes is a good player, and I don't think that he deserved all the criticism that he got earlier in the year. But I think there's enough about us to stay up. I think when you look at, like, Leeds are just chaotic. You never know what you're going to get with them. And there are some teams that are just that little bit more shambolic than us. I think that...
it's a great compliment, isn't it? There are less shambolic teams than us.
Honestly, that's what it's come to, though. I mean, I'm really dredging the bottom of the barrel for some optimism here. Like, I'm really... I think, though, that what if we do stay up, and let's God hope that we do, and Rodgers will still be there, I think that what he will be overseeing is probably one of the biggest rebuilds that we've seen at Leicester since that year that we went down to League One. I genuinely think that's the scale of the changes in personnel that you're going to see, and there'll be probably not a refresh in identity as much as back then, because what Pearson did was, you know, completely left field, but there's going to be a lot coming in and a lot going out, or there has to be, otherwise we're doomed to repeat this all over again.
Yeah, no, agree with lots of that, Jamie. We'll leave it there, mate. Thanks for coming on. Massively appreciate it.
Thanks, Sam. Good to chat to you all.
Yeah, you too. Really good stuff. Right, and it's just back to us four. The first ever Big Strong Leicester Boys phone in. I thought that was good, though. Some really good thoughts, loads of good callers, and yeah, for everyone who did come on, and loads of people messaging as well to come on. It is greatly appreciated. So I thought actually that was quite interesting, because I'll be honest, I expected more people to be Brendan Rodgers out. There's quite a lot of people kind of still on the fence and still kind of support him. Obviously, we know there are lots of people who do want him out. Jack, I'll be honest, I was a little bit surprised. Yeah, I thought I thought it'd be more clear out.
I was too. We're now going to get accusations that we've handpicked people based on their opinions. Because Leicester used to get this all the time as well. Like, as soon as they would be like, oh, you've not got, you know, you're not representative enough of the opinions of the fan base. But
it was TalkSport apparently pay for callers to come on and talk nonsense. No, that's exactly what our listeners are actually like.
Which I know for a fact they do. I'm joking. I thought... To be honest, I think when you talk it out, instead of writing something in 140 characters on a tweet, you get a far better conversation on it. Because, to be honest, before I knew Ric Flair, I used to read some of his opinions and they were absolutely honking. But since I've met him, I've actually realised that he's a balanced, reasonable, sometimes funny man. So I think it's just, I think it's worth, you know, discussing these things and coming at from a different opinions without being too diplomatic. But I think most people seem, from that discussion we've just had, like that there is no simple solution to the problem that we're in. And I think most people appreciate that now, which I think it has been complicated all season. I think last summer it was less complicated, but we managed to get ourselves in a right mess. Someone might tell me that it was much more complicated than you would understand, and I'd be willing to listen to that, but I still don't understand how we managed to make such a fudge of it. And I make no apology for going back to that, but yeah, I thought the opinions were really interesting, because we're all kind of ending up at the same place, that it's a really difficult position and something needs to change, but it's not easy to do that.
No, it's been a very fair and reasoned debate. And to kind of spoil that somewhat, Rick, I believe you've been practicing for the next time you see Brendan Rodgers, haven't you?
What, booing? Yeah. No, look, you know, you're right. I do think, and I think this is where we may well pay the price. I think as a fan base, we are fucked. And I mean this, right, because we've been spoilt with success.
Yeah.
Okay. And we were accused then of being, because we've been spoiled by success, that we had lost reality to where we were. And maybe that is the case. But then Brendan came in.
It's a certain generation, isn't it?
Well, it is. But then Brendan came in and backed it up, didn't he? We basically, what happened with Puyol, and what I wanted to try and chip in with a couple of the things that people have been saying tonight is, they're all absolutely right, and we are underperforming, and the players' performance, it makes them look like they're not good enough anymore. You can take Vardy, and I know Vardy's 35, 36 now. But when Brendan Rodgers came in 4 years ago, he got players, bit part players, to contribute. So right now, Vardy's on his arse. Luke Thomas looks like, I reckon if Luke Thomas played under 10s on Sunday, he'd be one of the worst players on the pitch. Daniel Amati.
One of the smallest as well.
Well, he would. Well, and Brendan would be the smallest manager as well. but what I think is, when a manager comes in and affects change, they get contribution from their best players. They get contribution from the fringe players, and momentum builds, and everyone just, you know, it all takes care of itself. So it's very difficult to look right now and say, well, it's not Brendan's fault, or it is Brendan's fault because the players are doing this, the players are doing that. I look at it quite simplistically. As soon as a manager is stopped being effective, they've got to go. Now, maybe I'm harsh. Maybe I'm going to then let managers go that could have done something that would have been beneficial to the club. But that is what they do. You know, the players are the players with the technical ability. And the art is a manager or head coach to get that out of them.
Yeah.
Once they stop doing that, you can start to point, oh, well, I need this player, I need that, I've got injuries. Well, yes, Brendan, you've got injuries because everywhere you've been in your career, there's been a chronic injury problem after a number of years. Why is that? That's not a coincidence. Why is it when you go to clubs that the transfer policy seems to get worse than when you've inherited players and you've improved them? Obviously, there's a lot of subjectiveness there and a lot of moving factors. But what I'm trying to say is I think we're all a bit clouded by what Brendan's done here. And he has done well. But if we're right now where we're 3 points off relegation, very close to even the bottom of the league as well, if we honestly don't, if we're still pro-Brendan, I think we've got a problem, and I'll tell you why. Nobody really had us down for bottling 2019-20 top four. Nobody had us down for bottling 2021 top four. Nobody is really thinking we're going to get relegated this season. The media won't have it. Some of our fans won't have it. Well, I tell you what happened 2 years ago? What happened down the stretch at Liverpool? He has got a rare ability to balls it up. to make a pig's ear of it. And I honestly, we are going down if he stays. Are we going down if he stays? Yes, I think we are, because I don't see enough right now. I don't think Maddison will stay fit for enough games. I don't think other players will stay fit for enough games. You know, yes, if we can have that XI, the 11 that we want, maybe we will. But I think there's enough there for me to say he's got to go. Everyone say, well, who are you going to bring in? It's the same when Boris Johnson was making a pig's ear of everything. Would you have said, oh, well, Boris stays because who else is going to do it? You get to a point where you say, you've had your chance, son, you've got to go. I'm not sure that's a great analogy, Rick.
Believe me, Rick, I know some Tory voters who don't think people can do better than Boris Johnson. So,
well, yeah, okay, maybe it's the wrong analogy, but what I'm trying to say there is you wouldn't have kept Boris Johnson, would you?
I get your point.
But the thing about Rodgers that really upset me this season was the way that he's thrown players under the bus. And he said that we lack quality and that they're complacent. As soon as you start saying that about players, the players that he's then boasted that he's got as overachieving for a few years, that you're going to lose respect, aren't you? And this is what I'm saying. 4 years ago, Brendan Rodgers is the bollocks. 2 years ago, Brendan Rodgers is the bollocks. Brendan Rodgers isn't the bollocks now for us. So I don't, like Jordan, I love what you're trying to say. And I really want to hope that happens. But if we lose Brendan Rodgers today, we're not losing Brendan Rodgers' ability from 4 years ago. We're losing Brendan Rodgers from being 3 points off the relegation zone. And that's where I'm now not that emotional about this. He's got to go for me.
Right. Call me mad, but you know, ahead of Southampton, I honestly think that when we've got our full strength team, you know, we've Suter back in, Christensen back in, you know, I'd do Mendy, Dewsbury Hall, hopefully Maddison, then Iheanacho and Tete and Barnes. And now with Ricardo, who, by the way, we haven't even mentioned, it actually played well. And it was great to get some minutes in his legs. It actually gives another option there, because again, if we're being completely honest, Castagna hasn't been particularly good in recent times. You know, what we saw on Tuesday night was that performance against Blackburn. To me, it just showed that how poor and how, you know, not up to the level our backup players are. And we kind of knew that already. And in hindsight, those guys shouldn't have played. But I still do believe when we've got our best team out, the one that kind of played against Villa and Spurs and, you know, for half an hour against Man United, I still think that team is more than good enough. And I still kind of fancy us against Southampton. For me, it just proved that the fringe players are just not up to that level. You know, really disappointed and angry about the performance and the fact we went out. But yeah, I'm just perhaps not quite at that same place as you are, Rick. But at the same time, mate, I do 100% know what you're saying. I really do. Lads, we've hit the hour mark for this podcast. It's at that point where it's kind of any other business. Is there anything else you kind of want to get off your chest regarding the current situation? Or do we feel like we've... somewhat cathartic, isn't it, coming on and doing this, isn't it? But is there anything else anyone else wants to say?
One more thing from me.
Yeah, I've got one or two.
Yeah.
But you go, Rick.
Yeah, the only thing I'd like to say, and again, it's going to sound negative, but this is why the club from top to bottom right now stinks. The academy is the absolute pits. You know, under 21s, pretty much bottom of the league, under 18s, really low down. I mean, if the under 21s get relegated again, that's twice in 3 years. They were fortunate a couple of years ago. You know, it can be lost in the sense that it's all on Rodgers, in my opinion, when it's not. But, you know, the whole club has got some serious issues that need to be ironed out. But, yeah, I know I'm quite passionate about the academy. And then I harp on about one day, hopefully we can do a show on it. But yeah, real concern there with what's happening in the academy, because you spend 100 million on this training ground. And for me, the whole blueprint should be about development of young players, because that's where the marginal gains are. And right now, yeah, it's a real concern. And, you know, the injuries in the first team are what often get documented, but the injuries in the academy are probably even worse. ACLs, other injuries, it's phenomenal. So again, I suppose that can't be labelled straight at Brendan. It's collectively through the club. But yeah, it's very, very shocking.
Jordan,
Yeah, I was just going to say, good. I think the phone-in went well. So naturally, the next step's got to be a big, strong Leicester boys night out, I think. But yeah, like Jack said, I mean, personally speaking, to be honest, I don't give a toss who's Leicester manager. I just want them to do well. And it, like I said last week, it is boring every week talking about the manager in or out. And as you know, the lads that have come on and spoke, there's no quick fix to this. And there are shortfalls in all areas of the club at the minute, which is annoying. But I do think we have got enough to stay up. And the frustrating thing, I can't remember who said it when they came on. We have shown it in patches. I mean, against Tottenham, you're watching that and thinking, fucking hell, we should be trying to qualify for Europe again here. You know, if we played like that every week, we'd be right up there. But it's been so inconsistent. And, you know, Saturday's absolutely massive. I do honestly think if Maddison's fit, we win. And if he's not, we might not. And at the minute, it does seem that cut and dry. But in more positive news, Everton are 2-0 down at Arsenal behind me.
Great.
And they're in a right mess, Everton. Wolves are still 0-0. But, you know, if we were to sack the manager at the minute, I do worry that we'd end up in the same boat as Southampton, Leeds, Everton. But again, you know, like I say, I can understand why people don't want the manager to be here, because at the end of the day, everyone wants what's best for the club. So the main thing is that we stay up. And Southampton 2-0 down to Grimsby, as my dad's pointed out, home as well.
And on the subject of that big, strong Leicester boys night out, we've started getting ads now, by the way, for people listening. And we got 78 cents the other week for having an ad advertised on the podcast. And if we were actually to do a swear jar today for today's episode, I reckon we've got nearly £5. So we're on the way to have a pretty wild night out, lads, if we carry on like this. Jack, what's your final thoughts, mate, before we wrap up?
Well, a few things. Firstly, if there are any brands that want to get in touch and have Ric Flair advertise them, he has volunteered to do that. And it's my lifelong dream to hear Rick do a Manscaped advert. And secondly, Jake, just very good to have you back. It's much more fun being in this chair than doing what you do. So a newfound respect for what you do after sitting in the chair on Sunday. So thanks for being back, mate.
Well, I know. I thought you did a great job. Absolutely. Right then. Christ, we're going to do this again Sunday night, are we? Yeah, this was a bonus.
It's my birthday on Sunday as well.
I'll do you a poem. I'll do you a poem then, Jack.
There we are. That's something to look forward to, at least, isn't it? Irrespective of what happens in the game on Saturday. Right, lads, let's leave it there. Thanks once again to all the callers and everyone who joined us today. There was loads of messages and contributions. If you messaged me about something I wanted to talk about and I didn't get around to it, lots to talk about. But I hope you enjoyed this emergency episode. Hopefully it was some way cathartic, like I'm sure it was for us guys. So yeah, we go again Sunday. Massive game against Southampton on Saturday. Hoping and praying for something positive. But you fear the worst if it is a negative result. What does that mean for Brendan Rodgers? Do we do this podcast episode all over again? But look, enjoy the rest of the week and we'll catch up on Monday.
Apologies for last night. So.
Podcast Network.